Welcome everyone to this week's weekly market update, April 9th, about 15 minutes post equity market close with myself and Carl. How are you?
I am doing just swell today, Scott. Yourself?
Doing well. Wow, what a past couple of days we have had. I don't think we're given any breaking news here, but it has been quite the scene across all complexes, really. Equity, treasury, commodity, currency. It's been a lot of volatility, a lot of expected volatility, I think. And that's if you're going to have volatility, that's pretty much the kind you would prefer. So let's just go over real quick the last 5 days. We've had an S&P up 3.25%, NASDAQ 4.5%, Dow 3.5%, Russell 5%. Russell really starting to make its move. And we had an equal weight S&P of 2.75%, which means, we've got a little bit of that concentration coming in certain areas. But just to put it in perspective, that's about 300 points in the S&P and about 2,000 points in the Dow. So that's a pretty substantial move for a 5 trading day period, wouldn't you say, Carl?
Absolutely. And like we've always liked to talk about on the podcast, volatility works in both directions. It works to the downside and it works to the upside. And this is one of those rare occurrences where we can say we had some positive volatility happening this week, especially after the Tuesday ceasefire situation. The markets really liked that. And it was a big day. I believe the S&P itself was up 2.5, NASDAQ was up 3 just on that one day alone, really carrying the last 5 trading days. And the thing I want to make sure we focus on, the one aspect of it, was the equal weighted versus the weighted S&P. Now, the equal weighted takes all 500 into account at the same weighting, whereas the weighted S&P, which is the one that is the most known, SPY being that ETF, is weighted, which means Nvidia is worth, I think, 5 or 6%, Apple is worth about 5 or 6%, and what all those big market cap have much more say in what that market does, and you saw that over the last 5 days.
Yeah, absolutely. Too, I was thinking about this, and we don't have to go out on a tangent on this, but I did find it interesting on Tuesday that the ceasefire, I guess what was called an agreement at that point, that it happened after the market close, right? Because that was a pretty tight window between the market close and the actual deadline. So I found that to be a bit curious. But we've talked about before, same thing as weekend risk and all of that stuff. So I did find that to be quite interesting. But to your point, it does show a little bit of concentration, at least over the last 5 days, into those certain, mega cap areas, which really honestly, I mean, you've heard me say a ton of times, I really prefer to see dispersion, like broad market rallies. It's just healthier. But if you need a good kind of head start, this isn't the worst in the world. And it was interesting going into that this recent rally, all of those were down about 4.5%. And so they really needed that rebound and got it apparently. But that is the difference between the weighted S&P and the equal weight. And again, not the worst thing in the world, but I would like to see on the heels of this kind of wrote that sector rotation back across the broad market, which I do anticipate that we're going to see that again.
Absolutely. And like you were saying, it's flight to certainty, right? You have flights to safety, which are mainly dividends, defense stocks, utilities, things like that. Those are the safeties. Flight to certainty, those are the mega caps, the companies that we know are going to have positive earnings, the ones that we know are always going to be in the black when it comes to any sort of their revenues. And that's what we're looking at right now, especially in those mega caps. And we're going to go ahead and jump right on into Carl's corner. I'm going to go ahead and transition myself there. And let's look at the interest rate probabilities. Now, what we're looking at here is the same thing we've kind of been seeing over the last month, which is flat, no rate changes until about the end of the year, October, December timeframe. We're not going to see a change until, like we've been talking about, the Iran conflict is officially over, so we can get a new gauge on what the oil energy prices are going to be with inflation. And then a couple months after that is we're going to get 2 months of inflationary data, 2 months of CPI, 2 months of PCE that really get to bake in those oil prices because oil affects absolutely everything. And if oil pushed inflation a little bit higher, then we're going to be pushing those interest rate cuts out further. And we had PCE coming out today, which was 0.4 month over month, exactly what we were forecasted, which is good. We forecast it and it hit that, which means it's not out of the woods yet. You know, it's not too high. It's not going too fast. We still have it under inflationary control, which is fantastic. And tomorrow, CPI comes out, and that'll be a really big test as to these inflationary numbers. And we'll be able to get a good gauge on interest rate probabilities starting tomorrow.
Yeah, and I also would not, I wouldn't rule out the possibility. Well, to your point, if they can control oil prices, get them dramatically down, at least down close to where we were before all of this started. If they can have that happen in pretty quick fashion, which I do think is a possibility, then I think we will start to see some probabilities creep back into a possible at least one rate cut. But it's going to be very dependent on getting a handle on these crude oil prices, and hopefully that's coming soon. But yes, you were very right. The longer this goes on, the longer these rates remain the same, and hopefully not be looking at any rate hikes, which I don't anticipate. But that's a really good point, and one that, you know, everything shifts around daily, but that one there, it's going to determine the direction of a lot of these different sectors and just broad markets in general. So that's one that you kind of have to be hyper focused on, whether you're invested in or not. Now, we do happen to have some energy exposure that has treated us quite nicely on that front. But that's an area that we really keep our heads on a swivel and really hone in on because of its ability, even in a normal market, its ability to affect broad markets in a pretty significant way, I would say.
That's absolutely correct. And one thing we did do over this past week is we started our quarterly rebalance. And normally it's a very small rebalance. Normally just bring it into what we wanted the year to start with. And this time around, we did leave a little bit of extra cash in there. But due to the volatile events, we wanted to be able to use that and trigger that into the market if we do see kind of these talks break down. And we'll be able to pick the sector in the industry that we think will have the greatest effect on. And we wanted to have a little bit of cash left over for that. So I think creating that little bit of cash is going to help with the volatility, as well as be able to let us be on a swivel and implement it the way we want to in a very short time frame.
Yeah, I agree. And I did want to cover one quick stat that I found to be pretty interesting. So through March 31st, the S&P closed below its 50-day moving average 19 consecutive days, right? So that's considered oversold conditions. 19 consecutive days. That's the longest streak of oversold readings since October of 2008, which we all remember. So the nine prior streaks lasting 19 or more days, the S&P was higher basically through the end of the year with an average gain of 14.1%, which would put it basically in that sort of zone that we started off the year talking about. And I will remind everyone, and things can change, but especially when you start throwing in some geopolitical activity. But, you know, we talked about this in April of last year, and that those were even bigger numbers. So I find that to be really interesting. You can take a kind of a really what would seemingly be a negative reading, and it actually produces a pretty positive result. So getting, Carl, to your point, getting that rebalancing into the areas that we want to be in order to participate in that very statistic is that's what we're doing. That's what we're in the process of doing, and we'll continue to do and continue to tweak, especially in a year like this year, where we definitely have to keep our head on a more of a swivel than usual. And so point of that is be on the lookout. We're likely going to make changes throughout the year, not just on a quarterly basis, but throughout the year as conditions ebb and flow. So with that, Carl, did you have anything else?
I do not think we covered everything that we needed to today and that we wanted to. Let's just keep an eye out for CPI tomorrow, and that'll give us a good gauge on what's going to be happening. If any of our listeners out there think someone might enjoy our market commentary, feel free to forward us on over to them. We're also on the iHeartRadio app and the Podbean radio app.
Fantastic. We're going to go ahead and wish everyone a happy upcoming Friday and weekend. And we're also going to go ahead and look forward to doing this again next week.